Well, good morning, Grace Chapel.
Good morning.
It is a joy to finally be able to be here with you all and to meet you all and to share the Word of God with you at last. You know, who would have thought that a global pandemic would have delayed my visit to you all these months, but I'm very thankful for the opportunities that we've had to be able to reach out to you, and more importantly, that you have had to reach out to us as a family during this time. You know, from emails to gift baskets to video chatting, I've done more of that than I ever thought I'd do in my entire life. But I really hope that during this trip, our family will be able to be an encouragement to you as you have been to us. I've also got to say a big thank you for the wonderful accommodations and hospitality that you guys have shown my family and I. I think of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, which says, God will not overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints. And we certainly feel that love from you and are excited for this coming week and all the opportunities that we'll have to meet as many of you as possible face to face. I can't wait for that. I understand that we're going to give our testimony more fully tonight, and you'll hear more about the pathway that God has led us as a family on faithfully for the last few years. But for now, all you need to know about me is that I'm a sinner that's been saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe that the book that we're about to open this morning is the very Word of God, which is the work in the hearts of all those who believe. And so if you please grab your Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 21 this morning, which I've titled, Listen Up. Listen Up. I don't know about you, but that's a phrase that's used a lot in our household, especially around family worship times, and especially when I start speaking, and especially towards my three-year-old. Those of you who have experience with young kids and trying to do family worship, you know exactly what it's like. As soon as dad starts reading, suddenly hugs need to be handed out, or cartwheels need to be practiced, or toys need to be acquired. And what do we as parents so quickly say? Listen up, right? Listen up. Why do we say that? We say that because we recognize and we know that sometimes, though our kids are hearing us, they are not listening to us. We might be vibrating their eardrums, but we are not registering with their brains. And so that's why we tell them to listen up, to pay attention for a purpose. You know, listening is important, though, not only for kids. Listening is also important for adults as well. Whether it's your boss or your friends or your spouse, how we listen determines an awful lot about our relationships with other people. But far more important than how we listen to others is how we listen to God. See, some of you here this morning might have heard from this very pulpit nearly countless messages from God's Word. But the question I have for you this morning, and the question that Christ has for you from this text, is, are you listening? Are you listening? As verse 18 of our passage this morning is going to say, take care how you hear. You may this morning be hearing the Word of God. I'm praying you will. But are you paying attention for a purpose? Are you listening? This morning, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to show us three ways in which we are to take care how we hear. Three ways in which we are to listen to the Word of God. This is the outline that you can follow along with in your bulletin. First, Jesus tells us here that we are to listen in order to share God's Word. That's in verses 16 through 17 of our passage today. Secondly, we're going to learn that we are to listen in order to grow in God's Word. That's in verse 18. And then third, we are to listen in order to obey God's Word. That is in verses 19 through 21. If I had one opportunity to teach one message to this church, this is the message I would preach to you. So when we come before the Word of God, how are we to listen? We're to listen in order to share. We are to listen in order to grow in God's Word. And we are to listen in order to obey. So with that in mind, Let's read Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 16, on into verse 21. Luke records for us, verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Verse 19. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." This is the word of God that gives us comfort when we think of his rules from of old. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have this morning to come and to study your word together. Father, we thank you that you have not left us without witness, that you exist and you are not silent, but you have spoken. And in your word, Lord, we have revealed for us the truths for living. Father, nothing is more important than knowing that you exist and listening to what you have said as it truly is the word of God. Lord, your word spoke the universe into existence from nothing. Your word spoke life into the darkness of our own hearts. Your word is what gives us strength and growth for daily living. Father, we understand this morning, as we have seen in your word, that everything depends upon how we listen to your word. So give us grace this morning. We acknowledge that we are weak, that we are prone to wander and prone to distraction. Secure our attention on you, we pray, that you might be honored, that you might be glorified, that we might be changed. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we dive into our passage proper, I want to acclimate you to the environment and the context of this passage that we're about to look at. The Gospel of Luke, first and foremost, is an orderly account of Jesus Christ's life. He is the focus, always and continually. And it was written, this gospel was written by a first century Greek doctor named Luke, who we learn later from his second book, the book of Acts, that he was a companion to the missionary and apostle Paul. Well, Luke puts together in this gospel a collection of verified firsthand eyewitness testimonies, and he groups them all carefully together according to their common theme or truth. Well, this morning we're in Luke chapter 8, which takes place about halfway through Jesus' public ministry at the end of Jesus' travels in northern Israel in a region called Galilee. We know from verse 1 of chapter 8 that Jesus has been sharing the gospel publicly and privately through all the villages and cities of that region. And as a result of his teaching, massive crowds have begun to follow him, to hear the word of God that he spoke, for he was the word. And we see in verse 4 and following that it's in front of this huge crowd that Jesus stands up in verse 5 and he teaches a very simple story. It goes something like this. A sower sowed some seed, fell on four different types of soil. So he who has ears, let him hear. Do you get it? Got it? Good. And then he sits down. It didn't make sense if you just listened and that's all you did. What's interesting is that no one in the crowd cared enough about the truth to actually ask Jesus what he meant by that story. Only his disciples did, as shown by their question in verse 9, what does this parable mean? And so to them and to them alone, Jesus gives the secrets of the kingdom of God. That's what this passage teaches. To them, Jesus gives them the interpretation of the parable in verses 11 through 15, the parable of the soils. That leads us to this morning's passage in verses 16 through 21, which increases the momentum of the previous parable because it's all about how we are to listen to the word of God when it's put before us. This is actually, by the way, the significance of the parable of the soils. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but the difference between the good soil and the bad soils, the difference between the fruitful heart and the unfruitful heart, was not which ones heard the word of God and which ones didn't. They all heard the word of God. Look at it in verses 12, 13, and 14 in your Bible in front of you or up here on the screen. We see that in verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. The ones along the path are those who what? Who have heard. But then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Verse 13, ones on the rock are those when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a little while, and in a time of test they may fall away. Verse 14, and as for those that fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And then finally, verse 15, and as for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So the difference here that I want you to see between the good soil and the bad soil, the difference between the fruitful heart and the unfruitful heart, and really what Jesus is saying is the difference between the saved individual and the unsaved individual, is not whether they hear the word of God or not. The difference is how they hear the word of God. The barren soil hears the word of God superficially, but the good soil hears the word of God savingly. Jesus' teaching in this parable of the soils is crystal clear. A person demonstrates whether they are genuinely saved and have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ based upon not whether they listen, but how they listen to the word of God when it is taught and delivered and read. So let me be blunt. Whether pastoral candidates are allowed to be blunt or not. You're here at church this morning. That's good. You're about to hear the word of God this morning. That's even better. But make no mistake, that is no indication at all of whether you are saved or not. This passage records that there was an enormous crowd following Jesus. That there was an enormous crowd that was hearing his words. But no one in that crowd moved past superficial hearing. No one in that crowd sought Jesus' point behind his parable, except his own disciples, and even one of them was a devil. So I don't want anyone here this morning to be under the false deception that just because you're at church this morning hearing the word of God, you must therefore be saved. Oh no, you have a far deeper problem with your life that cannot be solved by church attendance, that cannot be solved by just a superficial hearing of the word. This morning, if you are apart from Jesus Christ, you are dead in your trespasses and sins, alienated from the life of God, and you need to be delivered from your sins and be forgiven. The only way that will ever happen is through faith in Jesus Christ. And the only way you will ever be made wise to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ is if you hear the word of God and how you hear it. The test of genuine faith and spiritual regeneration is not whether you hear the word of God. It is how you hear the word of God when it is taught, when it is given. So this passage is given to instruct us, all of us, and how true believers do and ought to listen to the word of God, which is immensely practical as I was thinking about it, because even as a pastor, I spend more time listening to the word of God than I ever do teaching it. And I'm sure the same is for you as well. That is why scripture is full of commands to make sure that you listen and hear the word of God. In fact, that direct command is given over 200 times in the Bible, by my estimation. That's why even Jesus says back in verse 8 of chapter 8, "You who have ears, hear." God tells us repeatedly to listen to his word because it is what imparts saving faith, it is what demonstrates saving faith, and it is what matures saving faith. It is listening to the word of God properly. Properly. And Jesus instructs us this morning in how we are to listen. So when I sit down with my Bible later today, right? Or when I come to service next week, how ought I to approach the word of God? Well, listen up. We're about to see. Jesus shows us first that we are to listen to God's word in order to share God's word. Listen in order to share. That's in verses 16 through 17. Here Jesus follows up his teaching of the parable with another parable about a lamp. He says in verse 16, "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed." You say, well, why? Because the whole bed catches on fire. That's not Jesus' point. No. Putting a candle under a jar or covering it with a heavy mat immediately does what? It extinguishes the light. And Jesus is saying, no one lights a lamp to put it out. You light a lamp so that the lamp sheds more light. It spreads the light. That's why he says in verse 16 that after you give light to a lamp, you do what? You put it on a stand so that those who enter may see its light. You give light to a lamp so that the lamp will shine and give light to others. Jesus is saying here, he gave truth to his disciples so that they would pass it on to others. That's the connection between the previous parable and this one. Those who receive the word of God with an honest and a good heart, as verse 15 teaches, is like a lamp that's been lit. As a believer, you've received the light of truth. And you've received that light, you've received that truth, not so that you can keep it to yourself, but that you would pass it on to others who need to hear it. That's why Jesus says in verse 17, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light." See, Jesus is telling his disciples, sure, there may be some truth that I teach only to you and not to these crowds, but that's not because I don't want anyone else to hear it. It's because I've planned for you to be the one that shares it. If we as believers could get that truth, that would revolutionize evangelism in America. Yes, Jesus says in verse 10, he says, "I've given you the secrets of the kingdom of God," but then he says immediately here in verse 17, "But nothing is given in secret that will not be made manifest and come to light. I have not given you the truth so that you would hide it. I have given you the truth so that you would shine it forth. I am teaching you so that you will teach others." Everything that I'm sharing with you, Jesus says, you are to share with others later, whether I give it in public or whether I give it in private. It is yours to share. And by the way, you see this lived out in the New Testament, do you not? I mean, what's the first thing? The day of Pentecost comes, Peter stands up and he says, "Let me tell you all about this Jesus of Nazareth." And then he keeps on going, and all the apostles with him, and they write 1, 2, 3, 4 gospels in order to share as much as possible who Jesus was and what he had come to do. And then they give all these letters to explain those gospels. So nothing was secret that did not come to light. Even as the apostle John wrote in his first epistle, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and we testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you." They held nothing back. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to hold nothing back either. Christ has decided to give the light of the knowledge of the gospel of truth to you, not so that you would keep it to yourselves, but so that you would share it with others. That's what's supposed to happen among the people of God, is it not, right? I spend all week listening to the Word of God, trying to understand it. Why? So I can share it. And you come and you hear the Word of God and you listen to the Word of God. Why? So that you can share it also. It's just like what Ephesians chapter 4 teaches, by the way. God gave pastors and teachers to do what? To equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. I'm deliberately giving this message to you this morning. Why? So that there's not just one person who understands and lives out the truth of Luke chapter 8 this week, but that there'd be everyone in this room doing that. Everyone in this room. You know, sometimes when I get done preaching a sermon, I hear sometimes, man, I really wish my son or my daughter or my husband or my friend, or my fellow church member could have been here to listen to that. I really wish they could have heard that message. Oh, well, I guess they weren't supposed to. Has it ever occurred to you that the reason why they were not here, but you are, is so that you would be the one to go and share that message with them? That you're the one ordained by God to share that truth with them and not me. That it is, in fact, your job to share that message with them, not mine. That's what Jesus says here to his disciples. He says, listen, I'm telling these truths to you not because I don't want the world to hear them, but because I want you to be the one who gets to share it with them. Isn't that amazing? God could have simply chosen Jesus Christ to proclaim the message of the gospel to the whole world, and frankly, he would have done a lot better of it than we would have, right? But that's not what happens. Jesus passes that ministry on to the apostles. They get to go out and preach the gospel, and they would have done a better job than we would have too. But you know what? It doesn't happen. The apostles pass that ministry on, that privilege on, to pastors, and we get to preach that message. But guess what? It doesn't end with pastors either. That privilege of the ministry, of carrying on the ministry of Jesus Christ, is given to each and every one of us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us. Ministry is not a burden. It is a privilege. The truth that you have received is something you ought to rejoice in for yourself and rejoice in sharing to other people. Every member of this church ought to be a minister. In his marvelous grace, Jesus says, I've chosen you to be the one who will share this truth with them. Don't let the truth die in these four walls. No, it is to live in us, and it is to pass on from us and be shared with others. That's why God has put you in that neighborhood. That's why God has put you on that street. That is why God has put you in that job and put you in that relationship and put you in that family and put you in that marriage, because God wants you to be the one to share his truth with those who need to hear it. It's your privilege and it's your ministry. It's as 1 Peter 2:9 says, and I've got to move on after this. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We're called to proclaim, believers. So understanding this then, when we hear the word of God, we are to listen in order to share, right? Listen in order to share. The baton of truth is being passed right now as I speak. Grab it, would you, and pass it on to others? So when we come before the Word of God, listen in order to share it. Second, listen in order to grow in it. Grow in God's Word. That's in verse 18. Look at what Jesus says here. He says, take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not even what he thinks he has will be taken away. That ought to scare the living daylights out of you when you think about it. Now notice what Jesus says here. He says, take care how you hear. It's very important that we hear. It's very important what we hear. But the point that Jesus is making here is it's very important how you hear. See, all of us are hearing this morning. My voice is causing vibrations in your eardrums that are registering in your brains, and your brain is hearing that. And what your brain is hearing this morning is Christ's words from Luke chapter 8 that I'm teaching to you. But even though the that you're hearing and the what you're hearing is taken care of this morning, that's not good enough in the eyes of him who sees the heart. The question is, how are you listening to the words of Christ this morning? There are many possibilities in how you could be listening to the word of God right now. You could be like those in Isaiah's day who were hardly listening, who basically said, keep on talking, Isaiah, but I have no time for you. You could be listening like that. You could be hardly listening. You could be like those in Ezekiel's time who were shallowly listening, who said, oh, let's listen to Ezekiel. He's got such a pleasant voice. It's like a flute that's played so well. He does such a good job given that old-time religion. But they listen only to make themselves feel better. Or you could be like those that listened during Jesus' time who were listening and only to find a fault in the message. But God wants us to be like those that are described in this passage, in these verses, who listen with faith and receive the word of God with an honest and good heart in order to share, grow in, and obey God's word. How we listen to Jesus and his word is crucial. That's why, by the way, Jesus constantly keeps on coming back to this when you study the Gospels. Back in chapter 6, Jesus contrasted those who hear with his words and put them into practice as a wise man who built his rock upon, or put his house upon the rock. And he contrasted them with those who hear his words and don't put them into practice, and they are like those who build a house upon the sand. One survives, the other doesn't, and the difference was how they listened to the word of God. In the parable of the soils just before this, Jesus contrasts the person who hears the word of God and holds it fast with an honest and good heart with those who hardly hear the word of God or shallowly hear it or superficially hear the word of God. One is marked by life and fruit. The other is marked by death and vanity. And the only difference between the soils was how they heard the word of God, how they listened. That is why Jesus says, take care then how you listen. Make sure that you're approaching God's word with an honest and a good heart, because everything depends on it. As he says here, take care then how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. In other words, use it or lose it. That's what he's saying. The principle applies, by the way, to every area of life, mentally, physically, spiritually. It shouldn't surprise us that Jesus teaches it here. If you don't use the brain that God has given you, you'll lose it. If you don't use the muscles God has given you, I can testify, you will lose them. And if you don't use the truth that God has given you, you'll lose that too. If you're resistant, indifferent, or disobedient to God's word when it's put before you, then even the small amount of spiritual knowledge that this morning you think you have, you will lose. You will lose. Even what you think you possess will be taken away from you. But if you use what God gives you, if you listen in order to obey and grow and share, then you will grow in your knowledge of God's word. More will be given to you. That's exactly what we saw illustrated in Jesus' giving of the parable of the soils in verses 4 through 10. The disciples who carefully listened to what Jesus had to say, carefully listened to Christ, who honestly desired to know the truth, what happened? They received more truth, right? They received the interpretation. But to the crowd who did not care, who did not listen to Christ but casually, who didn't desire to know the truth, even what they thought they had was taken away. That's why Jesus emphasizes so much, be careful how you listen to the word of God. Because how you come to God's word is how you will walk away from it. If you come to God's word honestly seeking the truth, you'll walk away with what you want, more truth. But if you come to the word of God desiring as little truth as possible, you will walk away exactly with what you want also, as little of truth as possible. There's no way to be neutral towards the truth of God. You will either be growing in it or you will be losing it. Which one are you? Take care then how you hear. Listen in order to share God's word. Listen in order to grow in God's word. And finally, listen in order to obey God's word. This is in verses 19 through 21, and it's told through an account that happens in Jesus' life. Actually, it should belong chronologically somewhere in chapter 11, but remember, this is an orderly account in which Luke is trying to communicate a truth to us. And so he moves it right here into chapter 8 so it would draw attention to the doctrine and the lesson that we're supposed to learn. Look at verse 19. It says, "Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you.'" Now, I tell you how I would react to that news. If I was swamped by constant ministry to such a point that I was struggling to get enough time to sleep and eat, and all of a sudden I find that most of my family has come a distance to see me because they were concerned for me, I would drop everything in that moment and I'd go out to see them. But Jesus doesn't do that. It says here in verse 21, "But he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and'" what? "Do it." Do it. That must have been shocking. It's shocking for me when I read it. Jesus, aren't you going to drop everything and spend time with your family? And Jesus replies, "I already am. I have dropped everything to spend time with those who hear God's word and obey it." Now, this passage does not say that Jesus doesn't eventually go out and see his family. It doesn't say one way or the other. I think that he probably does, because you see elsewhere in the gospel that Jesus cares for those in his family. On the cross, he made sure that the needs of his mother were being cared for. After his resurrection, one of the first visits he made was to one of his brothers. So I think that I don't think Jesus is saying this because he's not going to go see them. I think what he's seeing is a teaching opportunity, and he's seizing it. He knows this because before he goes out to see them, he wants to take this opportunity and teach the crowd and his family a very important lesson. It's a lesson I hope that you have taught your family or are teaching them. And that's this: those who are truly related to Jesus Christ are those who listen to the word of God and are obeying it. Those that Jesus is dedicated to spending time with, who he has a relationship with, in whose veins pulse the desire to listen to God's word and obey, those are the people Jesus is related to. That is how you know who's related to Jesus Christ. It's not by whose bloodline you're a part of. I understand there's a lot of families that have come to this church for generations. Listen, if you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ, you're just as lost as any other pagan off the street. Just because you're a part of a certain family does not get you into the kingdom of God. It's not by what bloodline you're a part of. It's about whose heart you possess. Do you possess the heart of Christ? The heart of Christ who hears the words of his Father and delights in and obeys them. Are you born again? Are you born again? Having a relationship with Jesus Christ is not defined in physical terms. It's defined by hearing the word of God and doing it. That is where you know someone has been born again. See, later in Luke chapter 11, verse 27, a woman yells out to Jesus who was teaching. She says, "Hey, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts upon which you nursed." And he replied to her, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." That is always the priority. The heart, it's the heart, it's always the heart. Hear the word of God and do it. That's how you know who has a relationship with Christ and those who don't. This is repeated in James 1:22. Be hearers of the word, and be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That's why Jesus says in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples. That's why he says in chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. As John says in 1 John 2:4, whoever says, "I know him," but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Over and over again, the picture is clear. Those who have a real relationship with Jesus show the fruit of good listening. They listen in order to share God's word. They listen in order to grow in God's word, and they listen in order to obey God's word. It's very important to preach the word of God correctly. That's my responsibility. But it is infinitely more important that you listen to the word of God correctly and carefully. That's all of our responsibility. So, in the 30 seconds I have left, How do we change in this regard? What are some practical ways that we can take care to listen in order to share, grow, and obey? Here are some quick suggestions. First, I'd say paraphrase the message. Bring a notebook, take notes, write down what God is teaching you. When you're in a college class and the professor says, listen up, this will be on the test, what do? You write it down because you understand that it's important. When God is speaking to you, what ought you to do? You ought to write it down because it is important. But the second thing I say immediately after that is ponder the message. Sometimes when God's truth is coming at you like a flood, you need to put your pen down and you need to just receive it. Because what God wants to do in your heart right now is more important than anything you will ever write down on that page. The third thing I would ask you to do is to pray over the message. One of the habits that we often get into is when you get done with the message, right, immediately everyone's out the door going to get lunch or I guess late brunch or something for this service. What I would encourage you to do is to either stay in your pews and pray over messages as they're given to you or find a quiet place in this church building to pray. Get alone with God. Your family can wait. Your lunch can wait. Your guests can wait. But your commitment to Jesus Christ cannot. And then finally, pass on the message. Pass on the message. Pass it on first, I would encourage you. To your pastor, Galatians 6:6 says, to the one who is taught the word, share all good things first with the one who teaches. Don't just compliment him. Share with him what you learned. It'll be a great encouragement to hear how he has edified the body of Christ. Search for connections to the truth. Second, pass it on to your family. Talk to your spouse and your kids about the message as you're driving back home or over the lunch table. Ask them specifically what stood out to them, what God taught them. And how you as individuals in a family can better obey God's word. And then third, pass it on to the unsaved. Invite others to church and then take them out for lunch afterwards. Ask them what they think. It's a very basic way. Start a weekly Bible study, maybe at work. Pass it on any way possible. Use your imagination. So if you want to listen up, paraphrase the message. Ponder the message, pray over the message, pass on the message. And these are simple ways that we can take care how we listen to the Word of God this next week. So how are you listening? How will you listen to the Word of God this week? Listen in order to share. Listen in order to grow. And listen in order to obey. Because all of us will have to stand before God someday. Right? About what we did with the word of God that was given to us. May we listen in order to share, grow in, and obey God's word. Be careful how you listen. This week, oh, ladies and gentlemen, listen up to God's word. So this is the word of God from Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21, which I now commit to your further study and your faithful obedience. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have had this brief time to share and to study your word. Father, we understand that nothing is more important than hearing you. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, not just in opening up our Bibles and reading and closing the book, but Father, in paraphrasing, in pondering, in praying over, and in passing on the messages as you give them to us. Help us to be faithful even in that this morning. May you be honored and glorified because we as your sheep have heard your voice and we will follow you. Help us to follow you this way in listening up, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.